Guacamole Pizza.
Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
I wonder what we're talking about.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live.
If you don't like ads, you can subscribe and support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. It's even easy if you have Prime Gaming. Just do the thing. Get rid of the ads. It's a Twitch thing. I can't help it. Anyway. You can also use credit code Rocket Socket before night item shop. Hashtag epic partner. Anyway, I'm the producer. That's the intern, King Kittens.
What's up?
Is that all you got?
Well, I'm kind of, you know, occupied with something right now.
What are you occupied with?
Well, I mean, my Cowboys won, so that was fun earlier today. But there is a baseball game still ongoing.
Is there?
Yeah, I mean, yours is over, but...
Mine's over. Mine ended. Yours is still going on. They got to win 4 of them?
Oh, my God.
And right now, they're down 1.
Drop your Crocs and grab your socks.
Oh, and that's Tim Stein.
Hi, guys.
He's here, too.
Yeah, I'm here too. We're back with another edition of this little webcast that's been going on a couple of decades called Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for joining us. Hi, Lindsay and everybody else. So after a hiatus of a week because you guys absolutely had to get into the football game, who won? Philly.
Philly. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL right now.
You know that means they're not going anywhere.
But the Philadelphia Phillies are going to the World Series.
Yeah, they're not going to win.
No, probably not. But hey, they're in there.
There you go.
Because Houston's
the one thing you've got going for you is you don't have Wild Thing pitching for you anymore.
I like Mitch Williams.
Because that would have made it interesting.
30 years ago.
Oh, shit. But he was fun. He kept things exciting. That whole team did. They kept things exciting.
Yeah, and of course, we're currently in the wide world of major pro sports in North America, smack dab in the middle of what I like to call the sweet spot of sports.
Here's where Tim
major leagues are in play at this point in time.
Yay!
Well, it's a sports lover's wet dream, dude.
But no one cares about the early seasons of the NBA and the NHL.
Well, that's not true. Nobody cares about the early seasons of the NBA. The NHL Believe it or not, the early part of the season will do a hell of a lot to determine where you end up or even if you make the playoffs. For example, the Vancouver Canucks have yet to win a hockey game, and already they're eliminated.
The Flyers have won a couple games. Doesn't mean they're doing shit this season.
Flyers have won a few games. They're going to – actually, the Flyers are going to do a lot better than they did last season, Rock. So you've got that to look forward to.
I do just wait. They're going to go on a skid.
every team does. But, of course, we've always got the Arizona Coyotes to look forward to, Brent.
I don't follow the Coyotes.
I'm just saying we've got the Arizona Coyotes to look forward to.
Okay.
Not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't follow the Vancouver Canucks, and I don't follow the Arizona Coyotes. But I know what's going on in the world of hockey.
Yay.
Because I'm Canadian, eh?
You have to. It's all by rights in Canada. You have to keep up with hockey at some point in your life.
Well, yeah, it's like if you don't, then you're not issued your man card. So your Canadian man card. You see, there it is. You know, Canadians, we've got a reputation of being the nicest, most polite people on the planet. And the people who have dubbed us that have never been to a hockey game. I'm telling you, if there's a war to win, just send a bunch of Canadians over there, give them hockey sticks, and tell them the enemy has the puck. War is over in 60 minutes.
Exciting.
And then we'll all go to Timmy's afterwards. Not my place. No, no, no. That's the Canadian coffee shop, Tim Hortons, with donuts and coffee.
Gotcha.
You've heard of Tim Hortons, haven't you?
Once or twice.
Yeah, it was started up by a Buffalo Sabre hockey player who happened to be, you know, Canadian. Anyway, that's beside the point.
I think, wasn't Tim Horton on our list the other week, Brent?
Yes. Yes, he was. He was one of the
Who won, by the way? Who won?
Hang on.
Brent will look it up. I don't know. Was it Ty Domi?
It may have been Ty Domi.
Okay, that's just ridiculous and proves my point. You guys know shit about hockey if Ty Domi won.
I mean, we know shit. I mean, it happens.
Okay, give it to Dummy. Hey, Dummy!
The winner was Ty Domi. Second place was Joe Neuwendijk.
Oh, third my God. Place, shit it right.
Third place, I know hockey. And third place is Tim Horton, who beat Theon Fleury.
No, Theron.
Theron Fleury. There we go.
Yeah, he just goes by the name Theo. Like Huxtable, Theo. Okay. And yeah, I've had run-ins with Theo over the decades.
Just name-dropping everybody, aren't you?
Well, you know, just the ones I know.
Just the ones you know.
So, I used to be a nightclub disc jockey back in the olden days, and Theo used to come into the club that I was working at on McLeod Trail South in Calgary here after basically everything shut down and the patrons left, just staff, and Theo would get behind the bar and act as bartender for all of us staff members as we cleaned up, which was pretty cool because he didn't believe in anything less than like a quadruple highball back then.
Class, take notes. These are things.
But that was back then. He's been clean and sober for decades now, and kudos to him. Of course, there's a big, huge, messy story as far as his life goes, and it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the kids.
Yay.
So there's that. But anyway, Team Chat's asking what jobs I haven't had. I was not a bartender. What else haven't I done, Rock?
I don't know. What haven't you done,
Tim? What haven't you done?
Yeah, what haven't you done?
See, I've done retail sales. I used to I've managed 7-Elevens.
Have you been a horse surgeon?
Which?
A horse surgeon?
I've never operated on a horse.
Okay.
Or anything else, actually. I can't say I haven't butchered a few things. As a matter of fact, I chopped up a slab of sirloin tip just a couple hours ago. I'm slow cooking a beef stew right now.
We have a question. Were you ever a male escort?
No.
Okay. I was told to ask.
Who the hell asked that question?
So someone asked. Don't...
Who?
It doesn't matter names.
Yes, Tim. It does matter. Who asked it?
Names do not matter in this. Chad asked if you were a fluffer.
I'm telling you, I'm going to smack him. I've never been involved in the porn industry chat, which runs with Matt.
Ace, on the other hand.
He's a perv. Ace was involved in the porn industry?
Something a long time ago. Nothing really ever did anything about it. Anyway.
Going to the movie theater and sitting beside Pee Wee Herman doesn't count.
No, that's a CB radio deep cut right there.
That's 15 years and December 3rd.
There we go. Work that plug, Rock. Work that plug.
Hey, CBRadio.com. Boom. Let's talk.
Worked.
Let's talk wrestling, shall we?
Yeah, we could.
So, a year ago, back in last August, CM Punk returned to AEW, and it was the biggest return in wrestling.
And I was meh about it, if I remember correctly.
And now, a year later, after the All Out Brawl, they want to buy out his contract.
He lasted a year and 2 months.
Are we surprised?
I have to say, I'm not surprised, especially in light of the shit that went down after a certain pay-per-view. You've already mentioned it.
Yeah.
But he's proven that Phil Brooks is only out for himself and doesn't give a fuck about anybody else, despite anything he may have said in the past. This is the read I get.
Just the read you get? Okay. What about you, Brent?
Am I surprised by this? Not at all. No, because if there's one thing we learned about Phil or CM Punk from his time in WWE, from his time outside of WWE, all of these things, we've learned he is very petty. And it got to show itself through the scrum at what's being affectionately known as now Brawl Out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went into that scrum. So just remember, everyone, he was coming back from being hurt. He had a 2.5-minute squash match against Moxley a week before. They knew how this pay-per-view was going to end. They knew that he knew he was going to have an open mic at the post-event media scrum. And he came out swinging at that scrum.
Yep.
It wasn't something like, oh, this was just something that came up. If you listen to that scrum, no one posed the question to him about Colt until after he had already started to lay in. And while he's doing that, he's taking pot shots at people in the scrum because, you know, oh, they were saying things about him in the dirt sheets.
Yeah.
So it just further goes to show how absolutely petty he is of like, oh yeah, they're going to be here. I'm going to take time and call them out. So with all of this, am I surprised? No. I think we all, when Punk was announced for AEW and we saw him come out and he had that pop, I think a little piece of all of us was sitting there going, okay, how long is this going to last? How long is this going to take before Phil decides to essentially submarine it? And it took 15 months.
It took 15 months, yeah. That's all it took.
Well, and did it take 15 months? How much of a lead-up did he, you know, how much of a slow build?
It really
because it's him and his attitude.
It wasn't. It legitimately flipped on a dime around All Out. Like, before that, everything was good. Back in May, before he got hurt, everything was fine, and then he came back, had an agenda, and
yeah, when he came out and he started to talk about, like, when he planted the seeds of Hangman Page, because I remember he came out for his promo at one point, and just non sequitur, just completely on his own, called out Hangman with their no attempt that he was even going to show up, just to humiliate him.
Yeah.
And it's like, who does that?
Phil Brooks.
He's the only guy, because I don't think I've ever seen anyone else, I mean, non-storyline based, to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to give this guy a shot. Come on out here. Oh wait, he's a bitch. He's not going to come out. It's like, what? I don't know.
He was beloved for forever by the locker room, and now not so much. Like, are we surprised, like, that, you know, the locker room has even fully turned on him?
was he beloved by the locker room, or did certain people in the locker room like him? Because I know that FTR got along with him.
He had a crew. At least he had a crew that liked him.
But it was like a Steel.
Who's fired.
And from what I understand, is probably not doing himself any favors right now.
No.
There's FTR, who, I mean, they can like who they want to, that's fine. But other than that, I don't really know if there was anyone else that openly was like, yeah, Phil. I mean, I can name more people that didn't like Phil.
And there's your problem right there.
Like Eddie. And you start to see things like when Eddie and when Paige, in the lead up to their matches against Punk, and was talking about things like, we're trying to save AEW from you. We're trying to save the locker room from you. All of a sudden, that looks pretty freaking accurate.
It does.
Like, and I'll say, you know, Eddie Kingston is not necessarily, like, I think he's an everyman, but I don't think you're going to take what he says fully to heart at times, because there may be times of like, okay, how much of this is like a character, even though he gives passionate promos, but it's like, no, you're starting to look at that and go, yeah, no, maybe he had something there. Maybe that was more off the cuff than we thought. And the other interesting thing about all of this is what it's done to the EVPs. Because remember, this when Phil came in, I remember talking with you about this. I was like, okay, now it's a battle for AEW soul between the elite, the people who built the company, the people who, you know, formulated the group that was going to start. And sure, you had a couple of former WWE people that were coming in, but Phil was the really big catch. Jericho was always going to go where the money is. That's how he's been.
And he signed more years, and he'll continue to chase that money from AEW.
Yeah, he's going to chase that bag, and then when that contract runs out, if WWE wants to throw him a little bit of money, he'll make a final appearance there and get the Hall of Fame and all that stuff, you know, like you do. But Phil was that first big one where it was like, okay, you know, Moxley leaving, he just wanted out.
He was the white whale.
Mm-hmm. He was the one that was always sitting there, and it was like, is he going to go? No. Is he done? Is he going to actually go to AEW now? Who knows? And then he signed, and yeah, he got a huge pop, and he popped the numbers, and they kind of needed a little bit of the number pop by that point. But in the end, what did he really do?
You know, thinking back about it, Brent.
Yeah?
We go back a year to All Out, and who were the surprises that night? Like, what was the big, you got Brian, you had Punk, and you had Cole, and the only one who's really standing right now is Brian.
Because, yeah, we don't know if Adam Cole is even going to be able to compete anymore. Because there's been talk that he may not be doing so hot.
The whole post-concussion syndrome thing, for those wondering.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's still out there. You know, he's on Twitch. He's got a good life. But his in-ring future is questionable right now because of concussions. And even, like, that wasn't really talked about until recently, because it was just he had some kind of injury.
And you know, whenever they say injury like that, it's always something to do with the brain, because no one ever wants to bring up concussions. Hopefully Hangman Page, by the way, is recovering from his from this past Tuesday.
Yeah, that was a wicked clothesline and landing.
Yeah, it was. CTE, not CET. Anyway, now you got... Go on.
But I was going to say, like I said earlier, looking back at all the stuff that CM Punk did he really improve things for the company? Or did he kind of improve things for Punk?
He made the money. He put eyeballs on the product. I don't think anyone would deny that. Whether they stayed or not, that's...
that's a whole different story.
Because you can really question, were those people already watching them? Because,
well, you know that when he first showed up, that he popped the ratings, and he drew people to the program initially.
Initially, but you have to wonder, because his fan base was already there watching. That's the key. So one thing people can't figure out is why aren't they growing their audience? Well, because the Punk audience, who wanted him there, was already there. Like, the other outliers were people, oh, it's CM Punk, yeah, cool.
It's a group that was already looking for another product and was watching some of these other talents, and it just so happened Punk popped up, and it was like, oh, sweet! That's a guy I remember from a couple of years ago.
Because they never kept the 1.4 that he drew. They never got back to that.
No, you would see little bumps like when he was on, but that's always such a crapshoot of like, okay, when is Phil coming out? Is it going to be at the top of the second hour? Is it going, which is, you know, the dead point. Is it going to be, you know, leading off the show to really pop that number high and then, oh, everyone's going to leave again? We saw Phil, we're out.
And that happened. There was evidence that happened.
They'd have to try and put him in the main event to keep people around. And even then, if they knew he was the main event, you knew to tune in at about, what, 9:10:40? Because that's about the time they were going to start that match.
Yeah. It's just,
Well, and look at the people he's faced. His first match in the company, he made the big deal about fighting Darby Allin. Where's Darby now?
Mm-hmm.
Was he elevated fighting Punk?
Nope.
No, he's just been treading water the whole time, and even he's been talking about recently, he needs a break because going away allows people to miss you. Right now, he's just always kind of around.
He stings so, friend.
Yeah, he stings son that he picks up from soccer practice. You know, they made the big deal about him fighting Lee Moriarty. What the hell's Lee Moriarty doing now?
Who?
You know, that guy with the green hair that is part of a non-faction that is a faction. The Firm.
Okay.
Yeah. MJF. Did he elevate MJF in that feud?
He started to until he took his win back.
In the dog collar match.
Yeah. If he did not take his win back, he was elevated. Because you had MJF beat Punk twice, technically, in Chicago. And Punk getting his win back kind of evened out the series, and to be fair, they were going to finish that series off for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But before
Phil went into business for himself.
No, before Phil, even, but also Phil got hurt.
Yeah.
So you weren't able to do that, even if that didn't happen, he was injured and you wouldn't have been able to go there.
And then Max had some problems of his own.
Well, Max was back by then, but yeah.
So all of these things, and it's like the only time we had talked before about, you know, when were they going to put the belt on Phil? Because, of course, the whole thing was CM Punk being the champion was probably going to get you some rub.
And they couldn't even use it right because he got hurt.
And yeah, he couldn't do it right. And then also, it's like it was supposed to be the summer of Punk the right way. And it became the summer of Moxley.
Which has become a more viable option.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for... I think Moxley's one of those people that's like, yeah, he really does need the break. I know he was supposed to go on his vacation, but shit, they need to give that man some time or he's going to break down again. Physically.
Physically, yeah.
Physically. I don't mean in other ways. I mean, he's going to sustain another large-scale injury like he did when he injured his tricep and was out for, what, 9 months?
Something like that. So, I have a question.
Yeah.
Should he go back to the E?
Oh, God, no.
Hell no.
But what?
If I had a sensor button, I'd hit it right now with the no.
So, the reason I asked, the reason why they're working on a buyout, they're working also on a non-compete. The fact that they're working on a non-compete has to make you question, is the E an option? Because it sounds like it would be if that, you know, they're working on the finer details of one.
I think... Tony is paranoid.
You don't say.
But the only reason I say that is because, so, who else got a release recently? And I use release in quotation marks because there's some question about how much of a release it is.
No one.
Alistair.
He says he's with the company.
Right, but the original talk was he was given a conditional release.
Yeah.
And all of the talk that happened at that point was... Oh, maybe he's going back to the E, because that was right at the time that Hunter took over.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it became, well, now Tony had, see, before when it was Vince, he didn't have to worry about if he cut some people because Vince probably would not view them as options. If they were, Vince would find ways. Hunter gets in power. You start to see the locker room change. You start to hear people discuss how much of a different dynamic it is and how they're enjoying things, and all of a sudden, these locker room issues with Eddie and Sammy and other people that you're now starting to hear about is paving the way for some people to go, maybe the grass is greener over there. Maybe I could make the jump.
Imagine this scenario, though. A healthy CM Punk and a healthy Cody Rhodes main eventing a WrestleMania.
Oh, God. See, here's the one thing I will say about this. Though Phil hates the man from everything I've read, Hunter also understands business.
Yep.
And he understands if Phil can be a draw, if Phil can make money, he's willing to put some things aside to carry this out. And so, yeah.
And the key is there's a new long-term creative force there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're booking. I mean, hell, look at the White Rabbit, how long that kind of took. And it's still going.
Still
with
going.
With QR codes and stuff.
Yeah. But, like, they have a person who worked for Marvel and all these different things in charge of long-term, you know, keeping things together.
Punk, you mean not just pointing out the little tiny things and being like, oh, I bet that's going to be long-term storytelling.
No.
Okay.
Punk's a comic book fan. He probably would be like, oh, I could get a chance to work with that dude. I mean, you know, it's intriguing. There are possibilities.
Oh my God, I just thought of this. Hey, Rock?
Yeah?
What if your main event of WrestleMania was Roman versus Punk?
See, I think Cody versus Punk would be funnier.
Oh, I know! But just not, like, the whole needle mover shit and everything.
Oh, it'd be hysterical. But, you know, that Punk would have to be healthy for that to even be considered.
And he's 45 now, so that's a whole other, you know, issue to bring up.
Oh, is Phil a draw? I mean, he has an audience. People still want him back in AEW. So there is that fan base for him. So Tim, you don't think he should go back?
I just don't see it happening. There's way too much animosity and bad blood right there, right now. It's not really spoken about, but pretty much it's because of Phil that AJ Lee left.
Well, yeah, because he was in legal battles and, you know, she didn't want to be in the middle of it all.
And she sided with her man, as it were, as she was told to. But just everything that went down that led up to his departure from WWE, it was a very, very messy divorce. Worse than mine.
But you say that, I throw you back Ultimate Warrior Hall of Fame. Anything is possible in WWE.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. You never say never and yada, yada, yada. So when are we going to see Ryback back?
2027.
Yeah, just, you know, pull a year out of your ass. I don't see it. It's not going to do anything for the product. They don't need him at this point in time. They've turned a massive corner thanks to Triple H and the new creative team, the new direction. And they've already brought back some recent releases that should never have been let go. And they're going to be bringing back a few more that never should have either been let go or walked away. Wink, wink. They're going to be coming back. They don't need CM Punk. He's not going to pop their ratings. His fan base is vicious, vociferous, vocal, and loyal. But they're minuscule compared to the numbers WWE gets with everybody else combined. CM Punk is long past his expiry date for making Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown must-see TV.
You never know. We may not want it. Networks sure might want it.
Hmm.
Anyway, moving away from CM Punk. We spent a lot of time on Punk. Brent brought this to our attention.
Fred Rosser.
Rosser mentioned the Nexus as a Hall of Fame group. Is the Nexus a Hall of Fame group?
As a group, no. There are individuals that will wind up being in the Hall of Fame who are members of the Nexus. But as a group, no. They weren't around long enough. They didn't accomplish a hell of a lot. They were a one-summer-long storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck is the Nexus? No.
They're the ones. The chosen ones.
No.
God damn it, Brock. I knew you were going to go there, too.
You know, that's...
the biggest name member of the Nexus who's still with the company? Go.
Stu Bennett.
Husky Harris.
I think they were talking about the original group.
Oh, you want the original group. Okay, John Cena.
Stu Bennett is way better, just for those wondering. Brent dropping real names.
Whatever. I'm dropping the name that he uses. I thought he used Stu Bennett on commentary.
No, he's Wade Barrett.
No, he's Wade Barrett, period.
I couldn't remember. I thought they brought him back.
Stu Bennett was NWA. I mean, I know you're the power guy, but in WWE, he's...
I don't even know if that's still on.
In WWE, he is Wade Barrett. The voice of Friday Night SmackDown.
I want him back on NXT. I don't like the guy they have on NXT right now.
You don't like your Booker T, Shucky Ducky.
I like Vic Joseph. Vic Joseph is great. He does a great job. Holy God, Booker T.
Watching NXT on Tuesday, he dropped Shucky Ducky like two or three times.
Oh, he did it. He talked about his Fave Five, which no one remembers what the reference is. He dropped that at Halloween Havoc, and I was just sitting there like, oh, God, Booker, just go away. Go back to a pre-show.
Nope.
Can we get Pat back? Can we get Pat to work NXT instead?
He's busy.
I know he's busy doing College Game Day, but let's get the season to end, and then he can come and work for WWE again.
He won't be working NXT.
I know, but I can always dream.
Anyway, moving on. So the answer is no, they're not Hall of Fame worthy.
No. Like Tim mentioned, I think there are several members of the Nexus that you can talk about career accolades for. You know, you have former champions in the group.
I mean, isn't technically Titus already in the Hall of Fame?
As a Warrior recipient, I believe.
Yeah, he's already in there. We already have Nexus Hall of Famer.
We'll get another one when they, you know, when Daniel is done with his stuff.
Yep, but as a group, no.
And I hate to say it, honestly, I think those are your two.
I think one day Barrett will go in.
He could.
If he sticks around as a commentator, you can combine.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be you know, his intercontinental runs and his tag team runs. And yeah, the fact that he is a commentator, you can use all of that to make your case of, okay, he'll go in as one of those, like, other mentioned people in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Rotunda will wind up in the Hall of Fame, and he counts because he was a member.
He was new Nexus. He was
still Punk. Nexus.
I mean, he was Punk's Nexus.
maybe CM Punk.
Maybe CM Punk.
Hey, Mason Ryan could end up in there.
Anyway, moving on. Recently,
conversation always dies with Mason Ryan.
There you go. Recently, Shawn Michaels mentioned that they want to get away from some wrestling tropes and use Veer Mahan as an example. And I quote, I guess the main roster took Veer and had certain plans for him. We had Sangha down here. When you get to know him, he's an amazing, intelligent, bright man. We were putting him on television doing who he is. We found that to be captivating because he's a huge man, but he's charming as all get out. We were like, let's just do that. How long have we done that? He's angry and beats everyone up. It appeared that what we were doing with Veer... So when the opportunity came that he was coming back to NXT, we just didn't want to do that. Whatever they call wrestling tropes, I'm off the cuff that, cloth, that if you're not changing or evolving, if you're just standing still, you're going backwards. They are both such clean, classy, sharp, really nice guys. We wanted to present them that way. They're really classy, and we thought, let's do that and present them as who they are. I'm not going to give you the whole skinny on what we're doing, but I think we have something pretty cool and fun, but we wanted it to come in the package that it currently is, which is who they are. Shawn Michaels said, that question, what is a wrestling trope you never want to see ever again, Brent?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's a small trope, but the slow climb up the ladder is one thing I want to get rid of, unless you utilize it like Casey's talking about, which would be fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a parody of the trope, what Casey was talking about.
Another trope, I think especially today, a trope that's hard to do or carry off well, is what we saw with Rusev or what you always get with the foreign wrestler.
Mm-hmm. The foreign wrestler that comes from this former Soviet bloc.
Well, not even Soviet bloc. You had, like, Muhammad Hassan, who, spoiler, was not foreign, but you populate that trope of, like, okay, we're going to do the whole anti-American thing with this guy, and they're going to come out and bash, you know, that, and you'll have the good old U.S. of A. people that try to take him on until finally your white bread homegrown guy, who used to be John Cena, would come along and defend the honor of America.
And before Cena, it was Hogan.
Right. But it's one of those things, I think within certain times you could get away with that. I think especially now with a global economy and a global mindset, it comes across mildly racist.
Mildly? Depending on today's environment?
Depending on how they do it, it can be slightly to mildly to very. But yeah, that's one of the ones I would say. It's like, and I think a good example of someone that can be foreign but done well is what they're doing right now with, like, Ilya Dragunov. He's just allowed to be a character. Is he from somewhere else? Sure. But you don't have to portray him, especially, you know, being Russian. He doesn't have to come across as, you know, like, Mini Drago, which I feel like may have happened if another regime was in place.
What about you, Tim? What's a trope you never want to see again?
Well, that's a tricky, sticky situation. Now, there are people listening who are going to be, well, what are they talking about? What the fuck's a trope? What's a trope? And pretend that they know what it is when they don't. It's the stereotyping. Brent, you gave excellent examples. Rock, you gave excellent examples. If he's not a white or black American, but obviously from, oh, I don't know, a Middle Eastern or Asian country, he's automatically an evil bad guy that doesn't subscribe to baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, and therefore is evil. Shit like that, yeah, get rid of it, really, especially nowadays and in today's environment. That being said, the planet Earth with all of its different peoples is not homogenous. We're not all one. You can't walk around saying, don't call me racist because I'm colorblind and I don't see color. It's just like that. That is a very racist thing to say in itself. And people who say that don't realize it. Basically, to borrow from Star Trek, infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Somebody being different looking than you, talking differently than you, can still be a good guy. And, you know, it's like what Sean said about Veer. He's a big, intimidating, scary looking guy when he keeps his mouth shut. And then you find out he's got a larger than life personality and like a fun guy to hang around. Let him be that character.
Mm-hmm. I need to break something, some news to Ash. It's not really the Iron Sheik running his Twitter. Sorry.
Humble you old country style.
It's not actually him. Anyway, continue, Tim.
No, wait, really? You thought that Iron Sheik ran his own Twitter?
Have you seen Sheik's Twitter? It's not actually him. I'm informing him it's not actually him.
Wow. Sorry.
Just making informing... An old thing Iron Sheik's going to pull up his phone and tweet.
I don't know if the Iron Sheik knows how to tweet.
Yeah. It's his Twitter.
Oh, you can bet your ass the shit that is tweeted out comes from the Iron Sheik, but he's not the one doing it.
I think
he tells his assistant, oh, maybe I should say something about this. Yeah, how about fuck John Cena?
Or they're just playing off of things he said. I don't know.
That as well, but it's a blue check mark on
it is his Twitter. It is in fact his Twitter.
It's his account. It just he does not do it.
Yeah.
Well, just to clarify that.
Just to clarify all that. Yes, it is his Twitter, but it's not him doing anything.
So where were we?
The trope.
But then you said, like, what trope do you never want to see again? That's a hard thing to say. Because there are times where the foreigner has to be the bad guy for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the local kid is a prick. There's nothing wrong with doing that character either. The thing is, without a certain number of tropes and elements of the stereotypes, you don't have a show because you don't have any stories. Mm-hmm. You have no reason for these guys to get into the ring and throw each other into the ropes and pretend to break arms and stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to have something. So what wrestling trope do you never want to see again? The one that I am absolutely fully 100% sick of is the owners, those in control of the wrestling show, being corporate evil overlords. Vince did a great job of it during the Attitude Era, and it should have ended there. But Stephanie carried it on, and then Steph and Triple H carried it on, you know, and it's the authority, and, you know, I get it. You're working on, and in my opinion, failing miserably, is trying to recapture that Austin McMahon feud, which arguably was the hottest storyline in all of professional wrestling in North America. Arguably. Mm-hmm. Quit trying to reboot it. It's like taking a classic movie from the 80s and remaking it in the 21st century. And then the remake sucks ass.
Well, I would say even outside of, you know, the WWE, in a sense, building off of what you were talking about, that kind of authority figure corrupting power, or getting corrupted with power. I always, you know, I understand him as a character and I understand him as a business person, but dear God, I got sick of Eric Bischoff. Because eventually it would turn into, okay, when's he going to turn and when is he going to just go absolutely mad with power and put like all the baby faces in like 14-on-1 handicap matches? Because it just became so oppressive at times with him as the lead, or at least in that kind of authority role that people have, it always turns into the same thing of like, we're going to have, and I know it's part of the whole babyface thing of we have to put them in situations where they can overcome and rise above. But it just feels at times a lot of that oppressive authority figure goes too far. Okay. So yeah, as a trope, that one could go away as well.
There you go.
That ties in.
Ties it all together. So before we go, we haven't done it for a while.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
So, we're in round number 3, getting close to the end, so that's good. We have Shawn Michaels taking on Steve Austin.
Rock, we do tournaments on Saturday.
I understand that. Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Brent, go.
God damn it. All right, if we're going to talk about baby faces, and when I've talked about Austin before, I've talked about the pop. I've talked about the reaction that he gets. But if I was going to use the term baby face to describe someone, I think... I know this is going to be undercut as soon as I say this. I think of, like, when Shawn is a face, he is beloved by fans. When he, you know, when they're doing DX and he's able to be just corny as all hell. Yes, I know DX was also hell of a heel stable, but like when Shawn can be a face, he gets the fans to just absolutely love him. When he had his boyhood dream match at WrestleMania, everyone was behind him. Now, Austin gets a great pop, and yeah, he's got the support, but also he was very much a tweener in a sense, more of a face that just didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for this, I'll vote Shawn.
Steve Austin, specifically comparing Steve to Shawn, Austin was the better babyface. Most of Shawn's most memorable runs are when he was a heel, with the exception of his feud with Jericho. Austin's run as a quote-unquote good guy, anti-hero, was better than when he was a bad guy, though a lot of his comedy as a bad guy was hilarious, especially considering he still gets a huge pop when that glass breaks. says Keishi. So now we're tied 1-1 and throw it to Tim.
You deliberately read Keishi after Brent made his decision just to make sure it tied up and made me the tiebreaker.
Correct. It's called producing.
It's called, you bastard. Anyway, Keishi is 100,000% correct. Shawn Michaels' babyface run was after he came back, after he found God, after he cleaned up, after he sobered up. It was, we're glad you're back. We're glad you're doing great. We're going to cheer for you. Be the good guy. Make DX a lovable good guy faction. All right. Fantastic. Steve Austin has always been Steve Austin, the anti-hero. You guys have heard me talk about him being the tweener and the badass as opposed to the heel or babyface. Unlike Sean, Steve was able to carry the company as champion. Steve was better at chasing the title. He was always chasing the bad guy, which by default pretty much in the world of pro wrestling makes you the good guy. Like was pointed out, he still gets that massive pop when you hear the shattering glass. Whether he's there or not, that shattering glass will get a reaction. Do it randomly in the middle of a show and listen to the crowd. When you hear Shawn Michaels singing his own theme song, it gets a reaction nowhere near what Austin got for his. At the end of the day, you know, it's Steve Austin, 100%.
The New Day takes on Jushin Liger. Brent.
God damn it. I know you would have gone to Keishi if
Hold
he was
on,
here.
Before you go. Cool Ash, I know you can't hear this. Yes, glad ads. Woo. Two ads. Thank you for supporting the channel. Continue.
Ads help. I have to go with the New Day on this, and this is going to sound really horrible to say.
Shame on you.
Well, no, I think the New Day and being able to get that gimmick over when everybody saw what it was initially and was pronouncing it dead in the water. When they came out with the whole power of positivity and, you know, they were going to be church preachers.
Hold on.
Anubis Ash just subscribed to the movement.
Thanks, Matt, for the gifted sub. Anyway,
there we go.
Continue.
That'll help with that.
Ad free for 30 days. Congrats.
There we go. But it's like New Day was able to take what was a gimmick that was going to be dead in the water for most people. They saw that and were absolutely shitting on it. And they just decided to go with it. And it started heel, but oh my God, they became absolutely beloved by the fans. It is amazing to see. And even to this day, you know, you'll hear the New Day music and people will get up and start dancing. You'll still see a unicorn horn out in the crowd. Hell, look at the movement that they had for Xavier Woods to win King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. That was a homegrown movement and everyone got behind it. Now, Jushin Liger is a great face. I think his biggest problem is you could never fully connect with that character.
Okay.
Like, you could see some of his actions, and if you see some of the stuff on the independent scene, it's a whole different trip, because he can, you know, cause a train in a ring, and I won't tell you how. But it's, like, Liger is an entertaining person, but I think he was held back by certain items, especially being he couldn't very much cut a promo that people could understand, which is what helps get a lot of people behind characters.
So you're going New Day.
I'm going to go New Day.
Love the New Day, but Liger is more true definition of a babyface. A lot of the stuff I love about the New Day had nothing to do with whether they were good guys or bad guys, as much as they're just entertaining. Keishi goes Liger. Tim?
From the moment they debuted, we all shit on the New Day. Let me rephrase that. From the moment they debuted as the New Day, we all shit on this. They worked their asses off, and it was partly watch you, we're going to do this, and it was partly fuck it, we're going to do whatever we want. it's the combination that got them over and won everybody over, won us over. And of course, this was long before you were anything more than just an unknown lackey, Brent.
Fair.
But everybody who was on the webcast at that time there was like, what the fuck is this? Oh my God. No, get them off my TV. And then 3 weeks later, yeah, did you guys see what they did last Monday? And we started talking about it. Yeah, I get where Casey's coming from with Liger. And I can't disagree with what he said about Liger. However, there's baby faces and then there's monster baby faces. And the New Day elevated themselves into monster baby faces.
All right. So the New Day, we'll move on.
Oh, did I say I picked New Day?
That's what you sounded like you were doing.
It was alluding to it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One of these times, I'm going to start talking up like crazy one of these guys and pick the other one just to fuck you over.
No. All I have to do is change the button. Anyway, Rey Mysterio, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hello!
Tim.
Good question. Just reading chat with Matt. I swerved him at least momentarily with that. this is a tough ass one. I mean, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the only thing that 2x4 was missing was the goddamn American flag draped from it. Didn't he do that at least once?
Yeah, and he did it with the Canadian flag too.
Yeah, this is true. And it was like kind of sort of two different eras, early versus late. I mean, damn, you know, Ray is the ultimate underdog and, I hate this rock.
Make a pick, Tim. Go with your gut.
Well, Hacksaw kind of botched his character up somewhat when he went over into WCW and let them talk him into doing what they did with his character. That's the only thing that's keeping me from picking him. I'm picking Ray.
You didn't like Team Canada?
I like the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title. That was cool.
Brian?
Oh, I'm going Rey Mysterio.
I figured as much.
Well, like, don't get me wrong. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's got, you know, you hear that, ho, and the whole USA thing, and the fans were behind him. But Rey is just naturally built to be a babyface. He has the style. He's got, well, I mean, aside from the whole, like, filthy animals thing in WCW, like, every other instance of him has just been absolute baby face.
The ultimate underdog.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two for Rey Mysterio and we have a third. I love Hacksaw, but Rey is appropriately named the ultimate underdog for a reason.
Well, we can't all split the vote with this, so.
I swear, Casey and I do not conspire, even though we live in the same city and know each other as well as we do.
And Tim didn't know we were doing the segment tonight at all, so. John Cena, AJ Styles. Tim.
Who? Yeah, you know, AJ Styles will eventually get there, but John Cena's longevity kind of sort of holds sway. Also, John Cena is a lot more polarizing than AJ. Half the crowd absolutely adores Cena, the other half absolutely hates him. And that's, in my opinion, as far as a baby face goes, that's awesomeness. The thing that John Cena, that edges John Cena is his tireless work with Make-A-Wish and the type of person he really is in real life. Not saying AJ is an asshole in real life and just a great character. When he's in front of the cameras. AJ's a fantastic guy, and I have never, ever had anything but great things to say about all of the times that I've ever chatted with Styles, which a few times. Very personable, very, very easy to like the real person. But as far as the character, I have to give it to Cena. By degrees.
Right.
For this one, I'm actually going to go AJ.
Okay.
The reason for it is, it's very, in my opinion, it's very easy to go John as a babyface just because of what he you know, when it was Super John, it's easy to get behind him and root for him. And yeah, you know, he's got the colored shirts and he was, you know, your face guy for the company, legitimately your face of the company. But I guess one way to say this is also, as Tim talked about, he is very polarizing and there's very much a group or a way of looking at this that was, as much as he was beloved, there were people who hated him. And while go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one thing that I didn't mention about that was within that group of people that absolutely hated him, there were those who hated him because it was, you know, air quotes, it was cool to do so.
Okay.
Through that, I would say the one thing that would have helped John Cena in terms of being the absolute ultimate babyface would have been if he had ever turned heel slightly aside from that initial run he did with the company. Mm-hmm. Because it would have given you something to look at and be like providing the antithesis. In a way, that's what I think can somewhat help Hulk Hogan's legacy. Was he was so beloved that when he turned heel, it was such a catastrophic thing. And you can look back and see, oh yeah, he was absolutely a face here, and then he absolutely turned.
Huh.
And I would say, you know, taking AJ's, you know, TNA run, long TNA run, and then the stuff that he's been doing with the WWE, I'll give him the face.
It's hard to deny John Cena as a babyface. The kids love him. John Cena moves on. And that's...
I wanted to provide a different voice.
It didn't go very far. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode of WTR Sunday Night, Tim.
Yeah, that's it for us for this week. The new week starts tomorrow, and it kicks off on the network immediately following Raw with the post-show.
Is in fact the Raw post-show Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. Tune in for another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Wreck with your host, Lindsay Ward. She drags Rock along to talk about stuff.
We'll be talking all the news and notes you can possibly think of. We'll have some SmackDown Throwdown and a Halloween Havoc review. It's The Wreck, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can currently check out The Wreck Extra Reviews PGA Tour 2K23. That review is now available, and available most likely tomorrow. The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story of this epic hit series, that will be available tomorrow as well for a podcast.
Oh, there you go. And while you're at it, for some reason, people like to watch other people play video games on Twitch. And believe it or not, we got that covered. Join us for Fortnite with friends.
Maybe.
Most weeks, yes.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a football game at the scheduled time?
No, it's the baseball playoffs.
It's
the World Series. I may be watching the World Series like I was watching baseball last night. But normally we'll have Fortnite with friends 10:30. That's normally the deal. Followed by CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, Gray and the Great Debate.com. So that's the deal. Depending on when the game ends, we'll see. Sports. It's a big to do.
Sports ball.
Sports, you bet. Baseball has been very, very good to me.
Please never do that again. Anyway, continue on, Tim.
I don't know. We do it most Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio. Did you know that we preview pay-per-views?
We do.
There's one coming up eventually.
We're previewing one this next Sunday.
There you go. See how I was leading into that, right?
And bigger news.
Ooh, there's news.
Casey's back next week.
Hey!
Casey returns next Sunday night. Nope. Check out our review of the latest pay-per-view. Rock, what's it called?
It's preview of Crown Jewel next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Crown Jewel, of course, will take place Saturday afternoon, I do believe.
Yes.
God, I hope my fence is finished by then. Anyway. Not my fence, but the one I'm currently
building. You got 2 weeks. You're good.
For a customer, so.
You got 2 weeks.
Yeah, but this is going to be a three-week long fence. It's another fancy style one. Anyway, that's what's going on. If there's any news, updates, info, or anything you desperately need to find out about, we do provide that on our social medias.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com says Wild Talk Radio. It's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and the Twitters.
And you'll find out shit there. As far as that goes, follow me at Flamesforms on the Twitters. Yes, I'm going to be talking about hockey. Yes, I live tweet during Calgary Flames hockey games. If you have any kind of passing interest at all, tune in, check it out. Follow me for daily content on Twitter, such as really bad dad jokes, very offensive jokes, just random thoughts and things, and I post pics of projects I'm working on, just like, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that I think is worthy of following along with at Flames Forums.
Casey's on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Go check out his Redbubble, buy his stuff. It's Christmas is coming. Buy stuff for your loved ones. Just the links are in his Instagram and his Twitter. Just check the bios at Kyle Driver.
Absolutely, and he's listening to the podcast, downloaded into his phone right now, and it's probably Tuesday afternoon, late Tuesday afternoon. So hey, Casey, looking forward to your return next Sunday night, buddy. But Brent needs to post stuff on Twitter.
Well, I don't know if I need to, but if I do, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens.
There you go. The plugs are done. That's it. That's all. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, next Sunday night is not only the pay-per-view preview, but it's also what we used to call Devil's Night, the night before Halloween. Make sure you're in costume.
Bye, everybody.
Say goodnight, Rock.
Bye, everybody.
Wild Talk Radio Network.